The Sunday before Thanksgiving, so we want to talk a bit today about Thanksgiving and being grateful. Because most of us are familiar with that traditional story of Thanksgiving, where William Bradford of Plymouth Rock proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the survival of the pilgrims in their second year in the New World, as well as an abundant harvest that they had reaped with the aid of the Indians. Their circumstance had truly changed for the good, and they knew that God observed their thanks and praise for this change for good in their lives. Now, we ourselves don't often realize how blessed we are or how grateful we should be. That is, until what we have is threatened to be taken away. It is good and fitting that as Christians we ought to celebrate Thanksgiving, for God has certainly been good to each and every one of us. Someone once said that gratitude is the source of all other Christian virtues. And if that be the case, then perhaps we need to reason that ingratitude may well be the source of all, or at least many, of our faults as well. And when we begin to take for granted what God has done for us, then we become calloused and filled with pride, and God can no longer use us. For a Christian, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Gratitude is more than an attitude, it's a lifestyle. I read a quote the other day which said, "What if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that we thank God for? Would that be a good thing for us?" Have you ever taken time to ponder over what giving thanks really means or how we should do it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray continually." And in the very next verse, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." Paul says that you and I are to give thanks in all circumstances, that no matter what happens in life, whether life is going great or whether we're in the middle of a storm, we can still give thanks to God. In other words, no matter how bad you think your life is, there's always something you can be grateful for. There's always something that we can give thanks about. The problem is that sometimes instead of giving thanks for what God has blessed us with, we tend to focus on what we don't have. And so, as Thanksgiving approaches, we're going to be looking at two types of attitude this morning. First is the attitude of selfishness. Let's be real, we are a selfish nation. So many times we focused on what we don't have than being thankful for what God has blessed us with. We become selfish and we want more. You watch TV, you see the commercials, what are they telling you? You need to have this, you need to have that. So, while we have an attitude that says, "I'm content," well, I'm content until I start browsing through Amazon. "I like my car until I saw the new Dodge Magnum. I'm satisfied with my clothes until I stroll through the mall. I love our home until I think of what it would be like to have a mansion, or maybe a log cabin on the shore of some remote lake. I'm satisfied with every area of my life until I start comparing it with someone else's life. I feel like I have enough of everything until I see someone who has more." We have to quit being farsighted and become nearsighted. What I mean by that is we need to quit looking at what everyone else has and start looking at the things and the people all around that God has blessed us with. The secret of a happy life is not to get what you want, but to live with what you've got. Many of us spend our lives concentrating on what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. I know most of you heard the old folk song. It's been a lot of years. I'm dating myself here, but it kind of goes, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Think about it. Our power is shut off and suddenly we become thankful for electricity. Our garbage is not picked up and suddenly we become thankful for the garbage collector's weekly stop. A good friend dies and suddenly we discover how much they meant to us. Our water becomes too polluted to drink and suddenly we appreciate having good water. We take the things I think that God has blessed us with for granted. And instead of being thankful, we become more selfish and we begin to have this attitude that says, but what have you done for me lately, God? We are much like the little boy who was given an orange by a man. And the boy's mother asks, what do you say to the nice man? Little boy thought, and he handed the orange back and said, peel it. We need to quit being selfish and start being thankful. Sometimes we get so focused on what we want, we don't think about giving thanks. And sometimes we think so hard about what we want from God, we forget to ask God what He wants from us. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college, and he was sure that his wealthy father was going to buy him a car for graduation because they'd gone and looked at cars together. Come the night of graduation, his father calls his son into his studies, and he says his son and tells his son how proud he is of him and hands him a nicely wrapped gift. The boy unwraps it to find a Bible. He asks his father why he gave him a Bible, and his father said it was his graduation present. And the young man became furious. And he said, with all your money, all you could do was buy me this Bible. And he threw the Bible down on the desk and he stormed out of the house never to come back. Years passed and the young man became quite successful. And one day he received word that his father had passed away and he needed to come home. Caught the first plane out. When he got home, he realized just how long it had been since he saw his father. And he began to look around, and when he went into his father's study, he found the Bible, still half-wrapped, sitting on the desk where he had thrown it. He picked it up, started softly thumbing through it, when a key dropped from the back of the Bible. He picked it up, and he saw a card still on the Bible, and he opened the card and read what his father had written. Congratulations on your graduation, son. Here's a Bible and the keys to the new car you picked out. The car is to get you where you're going, and the Bible is to keep you on the right road while you're traveling there. Love, Dad. And in the card was a receipt for the car, and it said, paid in full. How many times have we not received blessings from our Heavenly Father because they weren't wrapped like we thought they should have been? How many times have we been so focused on what we want that we didn't recognize the blessings God wanted us to have? Years ago, I heard a preacher say that God is so much smarter than we are, and that when we have decisions that must be made, we should rely on His judgment, not our judgment. And I think that makes perfect sense. But like all humans, I struggle with the ability to do that. When a decision comes up, the first thing I think of is, what do I want? Not, what does God want for me? Why do you suppose that we do that? The Bible talks about our pride and our arrogance and how we view ourselves as the center of our lives. But that keeps God from being the center of our lives. We rely on ourselves thinking we have what it takes to get us through when we should be relying on God because only He has what it takes to get us through. In Exodus 34:9, there's a description that fits many people today. And that description is not flattering, but it's true. It is stiff-necked. We can be stiff-necked people. Whether willing to admit it or not, we can be just like the ancient Israelites. Moses is worshiping God and he asks God to go with them and to forgive the stiff-necked Israelites. And what was their problem? They just couldn't bring themselves to rely on God and focus on Him in their lives. And God made a promise to Moses saying that the Israelites would see wonders never seen before in any nation. He said if they would obey His commands, He would drive out their enemies from in front of them. And God is telling us the same thing today. If we will but turn from our selfish, wicked ways and rely on Him, He will do wonders for us as never before been seen. But we need to receive His blessing in humility and love and not throw them down as the young man who graduated college did with the Bible. We have to quit being self-centered and become God-centered. Now to turn it around, so we're not all negative and everything, let's talk about the attitude of gratitude. He realized that we all have something to be grateful for this Thanksgiving. How thankful do you think you would have been if you were among the first pilgrims? There were 3 boatloads that came over from England to make a home in the new country. On the voyage over, the wind blew them off course, and instead of landing in Virginia, they landed in Massachusetts. And they landed just before the start of winter. When winter came, it came with a fury. Been looking at the news lately around the Great Lakes, 6, 8, 10 feet of snow. Within a month, half of them were sick. They had the crudest of shelters and very little in the way of supplies. And over half of them died that winter, sometimes at the rate of 2 or 3 a day. Now come springtime, those that were left had next to no supplies left. Thankfully, the Indians showed them how to plant and raise corn. Their first harvest was barely enough to keep everyone fed. The sponsors of their trip refused to send them any more supplies. And I can imagine that being human, many of them probably wanted to go back to England. I guess as it's human nature to choose to go back into bad situations rather than to go forward into an unknown situation. After all, the Israelites did the same thing. Just a matter of weeks after being delivered out of bondage, they were complaining and saying that they should just go back to Egypt. I guess they didn't like manna all that much. So, what did the pilgrims have to be thankful for? Well, for starters, they had their lives. And because the Indians showed them how to plant and harvest corn, they had enough supplies to get them through the second winter. But how was their Thanksgiving different than our day of Thanksgiving? It was different because the pilgrim prayed as if their life depended on it. And we don't. The pilgrims knew that everything they had was a direct blessing from God. And sometimes we forget that. The pilgrims yearned to give thanks for all they had. But many times we don't. Now, Thanksgiving Day is coming Thursday. And we need to be reminded of what Thanksgiving is really all about. So when Thanksgiving Day is mentioned, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, honestly, for most of us, we think of the three F's. Food, family, and football. But when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's more than food and family and football. The very first thought in our minds when we hear the word Thanksgiving should be a feeling of thanks and gratitude for the fact that God has given us food to eat. That God has blessed us by allowing us to be with family that we love and that love us. And the fact that God has provided us a house with a TV so we can watch football. When we hear the word Thanksgiving, we should instantly be reminded of how much thanks we owe God for the abundance that we take for granted. This morning, each and every one of us needs to think of some of the blessings that God has given us in our lifetime. Now you might say, what do I have to be thankful for? First of all, God has given you physical life. Think about it, no matter how rough the road has been that you have traveled on, it must not have been too bad because you're here today. What else has God blessed you with? If you have food, clothes, transportation, a home, and a job, then God has blessed you. No, your baloney may not have the first name of Oscar and the last name of Meyer, but you have food to eat. No, your clothes may not be a name brand, but at least you have clothes to cover your body. And praise God for that. No, you may not live in a mansion, but at least you have a roof over your head. And your car may be a bucket of bolts, but at least you don't have to walk. And your job may not pay what you'd like to get, but at least you have money to pay the bills and put food on the table. Now, before we go on this morning, I want to concentrate on the most important thing God has blessed us with this Thanksgiving. A blessing that surpasses all the rest in importance to us. You see, God, in His great love for you and me, gave up His Son so that you and I might be forgiven for our sins, be washed in the blood, and receive eternal life. There was a judge whose daughter received a speeding ticket, and he told her that he would have to treat her just like any other defendant when it came to her appearance in court, and that he would have to show her the same justice he would show anyone else. The day came when she appeared, and he watched her walk up to the stand and stand in front of him, and looking up at him, he said, "How do you plead?" And she hung her head and began to weep, and knowing she had to enter a plea, he asked her again, and through her tears she said, "Guilty," and began to sob. So the judge banged his gavel, and he fined her $300, and then he stood and took his robe off, walked down to his daughter, putting an arm around her and holding her. And with tears in his own eyes, he reached for his wallet and took out $300 and paid her fine in full. Now we can all relate to a story like that because it shows the love a father has for his children. And that is a perfect illustration of what our Father in heaven did for us. God is a righteous and holy God. He is a just God. He wrote the rules before He made you and me. And like the judge had to treat his daughter the same as everyone else in court, God treats each of us the same too. All of us have been given the same chance to follow His guidance and to gain entry into His house. But in order to gain entry, we must submit to Him. So what has God done for us? For those of us who try to follow Him, God has paid our fines in full. That is the one blessing that God has given us that is greater than all other blessings combined. So what do we need to see this Thanksgiving? Is that God has truly blessed us, not just with our physical needs, but more importantly, our spiritual need. This Thanksgiving, as we sit down with families to eat, we will give thanks for the abundance of food we've received. But more importantly, when we sit down this Thanksgiving, we need to remember who we are and why we need Jesus. Romans 3:11 tells us, "There is no one righteous, not even one." According to that, every last one of us is a sinner. And why are we sinners? We're classified as sinners because we focus on ourselves instead of focusing on God. And that is rebelliousness. But the Bible tells us that sinners will have a price to pay. And what is that price for sin? Eternal death. Romans again tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." And that means if we sin according to Romans 3:23, we all have, we deserve to die, which we all do. And when we die, if we don't have Jesus in our hearts, that means our souls are going to a place we don't want to be. But the only way not to go there is by going to heaven instead. And how do we get there? Well, the last part of Romans chapter 6:23 tells us, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what does that last part mean? It means that God has given us one way, and only one way, to escape the torment. That one way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." If we will just ask Jesus to forgive us our sins, believe that He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, and ask Him to come into our heart, He will save us. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." And a little later it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So this Thanksgiving, we all have different reasons to be thankful. But more than any other reason, I think all of us should give thanks for the things Jesus did for us. This week we need to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for your act of self-sacrifice. You sacrificed your place in heaven so that you might come to us as a man." And we worship you for that. And thank you, Jesus, for making yourself a servant for our sakes, for showing us how to care for one another until you come back. And thank you, Jesus, for giving your very life on Calvary that we might live with you through all eternity. You know, the worship team will come. Keep in mind that thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist only of words. Gratitude is shown in acts. We need to constantly remember that gratitude is more than an attitude. It is a lifestyle. So as we celebrate another Thanksgiving Day, let us look upon all the blessings that God has given us. And as we do, let us realize that it is in the abundance of those blessings that we see the abundance of His love. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to take a minute not to ask You for anything, but to simply say thank You for all that I have. And Lord, we know that we live in a world that tries to pull us away, to make us look in different directions, and think of things that are really outside of the relationship we have with you. But Lord, we just ask that you remain in our hearts, walking with us every minute of every day, showing us the things that we should be grateful for, including the fact that you are walking with us. Lord, there's nothing that we can't accomplish without you. We cannot accomplish anything without you. It's the only way that life becomes real. And it's the only way that we can shed our old self and grow into a new being. A being filled with life with you. Filled with your spirit, your guidance, and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all of our blessings. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Would you please stand with us and sing our closing song today?